Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with hedgers and farmers, work with speculators too. We have online trading, broker assisted, hybrid is a very popular category also. If you're interested in working with us, feel free to let me know. If you're a client here and like what we're doing or want to talk further about any of these strategies or ideas, please give me a call. My number is 312-706-7610. You can also shoot me a text if you have my cell phone. If you like the newsletter or want to check out Turner's Take Newsletter, you can text the number 33777 with the message Turner. And if you like the podcast, please give us a review on iTunes and send it along to anyone who you might like it. So let's get into this week's podcast. We are going to start with the macro markets first. Stock market, hitting records, what's going on? One thing I always like to say is, and I've said this many times over the years, stock market's kind of a long-only market. I think at any one time there's maybe 15% short interest in the stock market, while, you know, for commodities and futures, it's 1-to-1. For every long, there's a short. Also, too, if you think about the economy and the way it's been changing through the pandemic, it has become more, unfortunately, more big business, right? And also, it is now getting more skewed towards technology. So the NASDAQ and some of those small cap stock sectors have really led the market higher. And those big technology names also have led it higher. And that's why we're seeing probably the NASDAQ taking off the biggest, then the S&P, and then finally the Dow, which would be more traditional companies, big companies in the Dow, while the S&P and certainly NASDAQ would be weighted towards more of the tech side. And what's probably really growing during this pandemic. So I don't see any reason why that should change. I'm not saying go chasing the stock market here, but I still like buying the dips. Not a seller. Wouldn't want to be a seller. Not yet anyways. A lot of people are talking about, especially with the dollar coming down, that's probably bullish on the stock market. The election, I have no idea what that means for the stock market. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who wins, how it affects the market. That's something I'm not really paying attention to probably until late October. And that really is it for the macro markets. Interest rates are holding steady. I mean, bonds, December bonds are at 176. All that tells me is interest rates are going to stay low, which is what the Fed basically said. The last time Chairman Powell talked, he came out and said, you know, the Fed isn't going to change policy or tighten until unemployment comes down. You know, they have two mandates. It's inflation and unemployment, and if they have to choose between one, like a little bit higher inflation versus, you know, higher unemployment, they're going to go to bring employment down before they bring down inflation, especially if, you know, unemployment's at 10%, right? Double, I mean, over double from where we were last year to inflation, and if inflation's still at 2% or 3% or 1%, they're not going to care as much. So that is that gave a signal to, one, keep the bonds high, keep the interest rates low, and money come into the stock market. What it's also done on the macro level is continue to help the bulls out with the metals. I like silver and I like gold. If you own them physically, that's great. If you want to do a little trading in the futures market, I like it too. Silver has 1,000-ounce contracts and 5,000-ounce contracts that are pretty popular. The gold has 10-ounce contracts and 50-ounce and 100-ounce. The whole thing is there's something for everyone in the metals on the gold side or the silver. I've seen some arguments here that people think silver's really going to take off on gold. That is usually the case by the really strong, almost perma bulls in the precious metals space every time we get – really some inflation or some huge Fed and government stimulus action. Not saying they're wrong, but they were saying the same thing last time around, and I believe they were right. Silver did outperform gold in the long run when we had the subprime crisis. So probably look for that to happen again. Unfortunately, you know, on the days where it goes against you, the silver is going to go against you more. But on the days where it's really chugging along, silver will probably outpace gold here. So if you're a metals guy, I like both. Just depends on how big you want to get, how much volatility you want to deal with on silver or gold. We'll also, before I get into the grain, the ag markets, grain and livestock, we'll just touch on the energy real quick. It is boring. The crude oil market is just, if you take a look at crude oil, the chart is just so, there's no movement, there's no real volatility, it's just trading in a very tight range with no real volatility or movements to either side. And the thing is with crude oil, we have plenty of supply, and the suppliers have been able to ratchet down the supply enough to meet where demand is, and demand is not taking off anytime soon. You know, we're not traveling. We're not, you know, the economy isn't gangbusters. There's a certain section of the economy that's doing well, but there's still a lot of part of the economy that's affected by coronavirus, the pandemic, and the social distancing and everything else. So it's just going to be quiet. I guess you could sell calls and puts. I'd rather sell put spreads and call spreads and try to make some money. Maybe sell them 60 days out and just do that for a while until we think we're going to have a direction in crude. But that's probably how you play it. So, you know, just to recap on the macro side, I like the stock market on the pullbacks. I like the metals, probably silver better than gold. And crude, I think we're going to be range bound for a while. And I have no problem selling call spreads and put spreads 60 days out, collect a little money here and there until our opinions change and actually can either get on the long side or the short side of the crude oil market. So those are the macro markets. Oh, the dollar. I don't love the dollar here. I mean, it's already gotten beaten up. And the thing is, too, it's not like the United States is the only country that's doing stimulus and easing Fed policy, right? Everyone else is going to be doing it, too. So, you know, does the U.S. dollar go low enough where it starts to be looking like the best bad choice out there in the currency world? Or does it keep on going down as other countries kind of sit on their hands, but eventually be forced into probably following the same path as the United States? So I don't know. I can go either way on that one. Probably won't touch it for now. All right, the grain markets. All the farmers that we work with and end users and everyone in the livestock community, and also all the grain and the livestock traders out there. What we tend to see with, well, first of all, yields are coming down for corn and soybeans, and that's why we've seen this big run up, right? So here is corn, and December corn can't get through the December 200-day moving average. It's 363. We really need to be at like a 175, 174 yield, where all of a sudden we think we could be at a 2 billion carryout in corn for us to legitimately and strongly trade to that 200-day moving average. And I just don't get the feeling that the market's ready to go there, especially with the WASD next week, right? So we've got this WASD coming out next week, and some of the reports I've been reading from the research firms have said, you know, typically from August, September, when we've had dry periods, the USDA is kind of conservative on ratcheting down the yield, where, you know, where you look at the last four driest Augusts, the September WASD has maybe come off a bushel or two, max four on corn, and only a bushel and a half on soybeans. So odds are we're probably in the high 170s for corn, and we're maybe only like 51 or 52 for soybeans when that WASD comes out, which means it's going to still show up. You know, we're going to have like 500 million carryout on soybeans probably, but corn is not going to be close to 2 billion in that scenario. It's going to be like 2.3 or 2.4, and that's assuming the USDA doesn't change any of the demand side, which they could. I think the Chinese demand's been kind of strong, and exports could go up, so I could see exports going up a little bit, and then the ethanol and feed numbers coming down just a little bit. We'll see. I think that could be a net on the demand side, but supply side coming down. Regardless, going to be hard for corn to go above 363. What would I do ahead of the WASD? Everyone, funds have gotten out of their position, right? They are out. If not out already. Like, today is Tuesday at the close. I would think between, I don't know. So, at the close of today is where the commitment of traders will be on Friday. We've got to be close to flat. I mean, we've got the corn market. I would think we're close to flat. I mean, and I can't see the funds being short more than 50,000, which isn't a huge deal. Funds can get out of 50,000, you know, contracts in corn over 2 days, you know, 5 or 10 cents to the upside. So it's not this huge problem now with the corn market. What's going to be interesting in later months, let's say like October, November, December, is if South America stays dry and there is an El Nino coming, it sounds like, and that could create dry conditions in South America. We'll have a lot of acres out there, but it could create dry conditions. Now, that's something the market's not going to pay attention to for a couple of months. Between now, let's say it's September 1st, and the WASD and throughout September, probably not – yields will probably be a little bit better than people think. Eventually get some rain. What's done is done in the corn market most likely, and we'll probably have some harvest pressure. But do we get down to 330, 340 again? I doubt it. Do we go – I mean, 340, yes. Do we get to 330 or less? That's hard to see now. It's hard to see us living above the 200-day moving average, though, if we're going to be above a 2 billion – we're going to be higher than a 2 billion carryout unless we get some real South American weather issues. But that really is not going to happen until November anyways. So in the short term, you can play the range here. I think head into the WASD, I probably might buy a little some puts. I mean, it's usually that's the play. You go into these big reports and you just take the option position on where the opposite of where the move was recently, right? So I think that's the way we'll go. For soybeans, they have still have a really good chance of rallying here. I mean, I can make the case for soybeans at $10 or at $9. We're hanging around $9.50. And the reason being is how much these yields come down. If we get back to trend line yield at the end of the day and we're at 50 for soybeans, which I wouldn't be surprised after how dry and hot the weather's been for a lot of the Midwest, especially central Illinois and a lot of Iowa. You know, we could have carryout come back down to 300 million. Beans are in the mid nines, and any kind of weather rally or massive demand sends soybeans possibly to $10. So I've been trying to sell soybeans for NOV 21. Actually, hold on 1 second. I've been trying to sell November 21 at 950 on the board. And I've come close 2 days in a row, but we haven't gone through that 948. We'll try to be patient with that for a sale there. And we did get sold on 950 in the old crop. So we're 50% sold now on soybeans with, I think, an average price of, last time it was about 955, 956, because we had a couple in the 970s and there was a low one at 920, and then we got some 950s here. So we are above 950 on half the crop. And I just don't know what's going to – if the soybeans end up looking okay, we're going to go lower. South America is going to have a ton planted. And then really what's going to – I think we're going to need to use these rallies to make sales and then do some kind of re-ownership. Because one, if these crops in the United States and South America end up being pretty good, we're going back down to the eights. But if not, if we have some issues, continued issues for the crops here, and if South America is dry, then, I mean, I can come up with realistic scenarios where if South America is dry and we've got some real concerns of beans well above $10, if something like that should happen. So we've got to find out ways as we're making sales, farmers, as you're making sales, I've been looking into call spreads like the $10, $11 call spread, buying $11 calls like way out just in case, because I can come up with scenarios where soybeans can get crazy. But if we go with the most likely event to happen where we have a decent crop in both areas, beans are back in eight, right? And you don't want to miss out on the big rally, but you don't want to let these prices go either. On the spec side, I'd probably be looking more on maybe beans versus corn as a spread. Might be time to buy the meal against the oil if we get another soybean rally, because I hate to say that because I really like the oil trade. It's been my favorite trade, but we are way up there now. Speaking of way up there, I'm going to take a quick aside here. There's something I wanted to talk about. I'll save it for the end. I'm going to talk about lumber and rice at the end of this thing. But anyways, that's where we are. The wheat, by the way, so soybeans, we're kind of a little no man's land, but I like beans against corn. If the weather stays bad, beans are going to gain on corn. If the weather gets better, soybeans are probably still tight, but corn, we're going to have a lot of corn, unless the yields are sub 175, which it could be. I'd say going into the WASD, I'm looking at puts, and only because the market's run up so much, and if the WASD disappoints, we might get some sell-off. So that's just a trader's game plan right there. Wheat. Black Sea wheat was up big and has been being up big. It's been leading Chicago higher. Here's the thing. Black Sea wheat needs to price ration. U.S. wheat does not. So why is Chicago wheat trading this high when we have so much on the balance sheets and hard red wheat? And I did hear some rumors China may have been buying some hard red wheat too, but we just have so much of it here. It's interesting. If I were growing wheat, if I were planting winter wheat, I'd probably be looking at sales right now too, in those contracts. Livestock, October hogs, can see it coming back down into the low 50s. At that point, I'd be a buyer. But you know, in the short term, the pressure, I'll probably be looking for a move lower. Probably be looking for a move to be short. We're gonna have a lot of hogs come on the market here seasonally. We see a build in supply. Wouldn't be surprised to see October hogs go from the mid 50s to the low 50s. Same with December. And in the short term, if I'm playing this, probably want to be on the short side. On the long term value side, anything below 50, I like the hogs again. I always do. I have been all year. For the cattle, cash price has been coming down, slaughters have been going up, but we are turning into a seasonal trend here, or a seasonal bullish period, let's say, as we get into the fall and winter. So we'll probably have a little bit more pressure on the cattle market. Packers are pretty much in control on the hogs and the cattle side right now. I'd be looking for tests of the 100-day moving average. That's about 106 in the December, and probably 105, 104 in October. I have to double check on that. But the 100-day moving average is where I'd be looking at to be buying cattle. The momentum is lower. And quite honestly, if we got down there, I'd like the idea of selling hogs and buying cattle. And you can even sell the hogs now, looking for the price to start settling down. And then maybe on the dip, you buy the cattle. But I like hogs versus cattle. If you want to talk about months or strategies or how to go about that, let me know. Give me a call. We'll go through that. And finally, on the lumber and the rice. So these are two small markets that I usually don't talk about. I think with rice, harvest will be decent. Well, demand will be a little bit of soft. I see us trading, you know, in the 12s, low to mid 12s. And if we get down to 12, I think it's an interesting value. I think that we could set up here for rice where it's not going to be like last year where we went into the 20s, but there is a case that there is still going to be some tightness in the rice market, not as much as last year. Some tightness, and the United States would benefit from that demand, in that tightness and in the prices too. So if we get down to 12, I think there's value. I don't want to chase it. I don't think the move is as big as potential was with the last crop, but there is some potential there. And the value point for November rice, we feel, is around 12. Finally, I was going back and forth if we're going to talk about lumber. It's such a small market. Same with rice. But if you just take a look at the lumber chart, what's interesting, it's even in the news lately, you know, the price of homes, like an average new home in the United States, which is somewhere in the 300,000 range when building a new home. I think the increase in lumber prices have increased home prices by like $15,000 this year alone, just because of that. I think lumber is up 30-40% this year on the retail, or for the contractor or the retailer, and I can't remember who is for. I know personally, I'm just trying to build, replace my stoop in my own house, and I haven't been able to. I have a concrete stoop that I've been wanting to rip out since I bought this house, and it's gonna the siding on my house is wood, and I'm just gonna replace this stoop, three or four step stoop. It's not very big. Pull out the concrete and put in a wood stoop. It's really not a big job. But I can't get the wood. I can't get the decking. It really is crazy. This has been going on since April or May. And there's just nothing available. And I was just talking to my handyman contractor who works with us. And we're thinking, you know, if we can't get this done in the next couple of months, it may have to wait till the spring. Which got me thinking, the lumber market's in shortage right now. But as soon as we get to the winter and construction projects stop, that's going to ease up on demand for a while. And the supply crunch that lumber is in, it's going to give the suppliers time to make up time on what was lost during the pandemic over the winter, if they choose to. And I bet they do. I mean, maybe in the winter, the lumber guys probably do have lower production. I would doubt it this year. I mean, anyone who has any kind, you know, like in the South, in Florida. I was just in the Panhandle in Florida. There's a lot of pine, you know, there's a lot of pine down there. I think they do paper, but there's a lot of lumber throughout the country. Anyone who can operate during the winter months is going to. And I think that's when we see the supply and demand come back into the lumber, because the construction projects, for the most part, especially in the North, stop. And we'll see a catch up. So you take a look at that lumber chart. It looks like a reversal. It's real thin. I don't put out trade recs on my newsletter or even on the podcast because it's too thin. Can't do it. But what I can do is show a spotlight on it. And if you want to call me about it, or you want to do something on your own, which is truly a swim at your own risk, you know, during the huge swells after a hurricane comes through the Gulf or something like that. I mean, it is a swim at your own risk trade, but it's an interesting one. If anything, just to keep an eye on it. And for those of you that have account sizes where you can, you know, trade it and not be a big deal with the volatility, kind of like rice, that'd be interesting too. I mean, it'd be a crazy spread trade, almost irresponsible to even mention, but long rice, short lumber. There's your spread trade. That would be something to see on a chart. But yeah, so that's going to wrap up Turner's Take. If you have any questions, if you're a farmer out there, need to hedge, you need to market, we work with FC Stone now. Daniel's Trading and Gain Capital were bought by FC Stone, which is now Stone X. I can do a lot more in the cash side, you know, with HTAs, futures and options, OTC. Happy to talk to you. And quite clearly, we also have a lot of research and ideas on the spec side, too. I mean, quite honestly, if you're bullish on grain, it really doesn't matter if it's spec or hedge, or if you're bullish on metals either. I mean, we're all going to be positioning ourselves the same way based on where we think the markets are going. So we also have great online trading platform. I'm happy to talk to anyone. If you're a client and you like any of these ideas, shoot me a text. You have my cell phone number. If you don't, ask me for it. I'll get it to you. Give me a call, 312-706-7610. And if you're not a client and you're interested in working with us, feel free to give me a call, too. All my contact information is in the show notes. Hope everyone has a great week, and I'll talk to you.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.